Blog Talk Radio.
I do whatever I can, wherever I am, whenever you want me to. Yeah, you have a friend in me till the end. Whatever I can, I'll do for you.
Well, welcome everyone to another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, calling to you live from Daytona Beach, Florida. As I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern, I have with me my co-host, Jennifer Carter from EmpoweringWomenInBusiness.com. And we have another great show for you this week, don't we, Jennifer?
We do indeed, and its timing is just right. Gina, as I'm calling in from almost sunny Southern California, our guest today is going to talk to us about how to attract money using mind power. And it's interesting. It's all based on similar to the laws of attraction, but he takes a different twist. So,
well, that is really cool. The mind power expert, he calls himself, helping you to prosper and thrive. This is a topic I am really going to enjoy, Jennifer.
I think so. So perhaps without further ado, we should introduce our author. He's the author of How to Attract Money Using Mind Power. He's a speaker, he's a coach, and he's done a lot of amazing things for amazing people by helping them to use the power of the mind. Please welcome, as our guest, Mr. James Goyt, Jr. Welcome, James.
Good morning, and thank you for that great introduction.
Well, do you prefer Jim or James? Let's get that out of the way real quick.
Yeah, I've been going by James.
Okay, James. Well, nice to meet you.
You too. Thank you.
Now, James, you've written this book, How to Attract Money Using Mind Power, and you and I have spoken a bit. In fact, I interviewed you on another show, and we've corresponded quite a bit. And what I find interesting about what you're doing is you use, is it metaphysics? And all right, you're going to explain all that. You use mind power to attract money, and we're going to go into some more details as to how you do that. But first, tell our listeners a little bit on how and why you became the mind power expert. What brought you to that point?
Well, my journey to that, I guess, started, you know, many, many years ago. It started as a child, really, with my keen interest in things that were otherworldly or, you know, things that weren't of the normal topics people would talk about. And it really picked up steam when I came to California. I was 19 years old and from New Jersey. And shortly after coming here, I found my first true, what I would term, self-help book. And I don't even remember which one it was. Some of the early ones were Think and Grow Rich and The Power of Your Subconscious Mind by Joseph Murphy, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, The Magic of Believing, Claude M. Bristol. So those are some of the first few books that I came across. But I remember when I had the first book and I was reading it, and right away I thought, wow, this is what I have been, you know, feeling all my life, that there's something else that's just so outrageous and vast and powerful that I don't know anything about, and now I know about it. And so I spent from there, you know, and I started to just read everything I could get my hands on, metaphysics and spirituality, the power of the mind, power of the subconscious mind, attraction and manifestation, subjects such as these. And so I started haunting, you know, used bookstores and bookstores and thrift stores and yard sales and just finding all of these books that I could find on these types of subjects. And I spent, you know, decades reading hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of these books. And all along, almost from the beginning, within the first few years, I knew I wanted to write my own book, only I didn't know exactly what it would be about. And finally, and I've, you know, started other books over the years too, but never really finished anything. I have a lot of unfinished projects. Finally, around 1999, I decided I want to write a book about attracting money. I want to take all of these principles and apply them specifically to this subject, because I've taught over the years on and off, you know, workshops and lectures on the power of the mind and things, and found over and over and over again that money was one of the real sticking points for people, that they couldn't come to the point where they could apply the principles for that specific purpose for some reason. And so that's what I wanted to do for people. So then I spent 10 years on and off. It's quite a small book, but it did take me more than 10 years of additional, and it was on and off, not just straight 10 years, of reading hundreds of more books, collecting all of the quotes, and then going through those and figuring out which ones I was going to use. I used 160 quotes from each from a different book, from a different author. And so that was in November of 2007 that I finally, you know, published the book. And, of course, it was before the economic downturn. So I really feel that I was totally inspired with the subject 10 years in advance of publishing, and, you know, even longer in advance of the economic downturn, because this is a major concern and question on people's minds now. You know, things are not like they used to be. Wealth and the stock market and all these things aren't on automatic anymore. All the rules have changed. And, you know, now what do I do? And now what people need to do is to understand, learn, and apply mind power techniques to be able to overcome all of the obstacles that are now in our way of not only economic thriving, but just surviving is in question for many people right now.
Sure it is. And in fact, while it is an extremely, it's a tough environment for so many people. However, we look back in history, and we know that these times, these economic downtimes, are the times, in fact, when many people who are extremely wealthy today first became wealthy. In fact, Bill Bartman just had another book come out that, among other things, says, hey, during this last economic downturn, that's how I made my billions. You know, sit up, take notice, take listen. And it'd be interesting to hear, well, some of the ways that you go about manifesting money, and I know it's a bit more than that through your book here, James, but it's interesting you say I read, you know, hundreds of books because this stuff has been around for a long time. And just like we hear at the beginning of Rhonda Byrne's movie, The Secret, you know, the wealthy people were trying to keep it a secret. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know that people who are doing very well for themselves have understood this concept that Napoleon Hill talked about it, right? That you can manifest what you manifest in your mind, you can then bring to fruition. So,
and I want to add something there, Jennifer, because I had a really interesting conversation over the weekend with Ben Mack. A number of my students are currently in a program that Ben Mack is doing, and the program is all about helping people build businesses that help facilitate mastermind groups. And the whole concept of masterminding really became popular by Napoleon Hill through the book Think and Grow Rich. And I called Ben to just find out a little bit more of what he was teaching to some of my students. And he explained that he had just gotten done with this huge research project. And he had asked himself a couple of questions. He was coming out of a movie theater one day and sat down and said, you know, how come so many theaters or movie studios are able to successfully predict books or movies that are coming out really accurately and so far in advance? What are they doing that could really help them to make that prediction? Because Ben's thought was if he knew the formula that they were using to make that prediction, that it could actually be used to help build businesses more successfully. And at the same time, he was also asking himself the question of, if I looked back historically at other tough economic times, like the tough times of the 30s, what were the trends back then that people were using to overcome the economic hardships that they were facing? So he went out to research those two issues, and what he realized was that there's one movie studio in particular that has successfully predicted 100% of the movies that they've come out with over the last 10 years. And that movie studio is DreamWorks Entertainment. So he said, well, if I know that they're successfully predicting their stuff, what are they doing over the next couple of years, and how can I use it to build a business around it? So he went out and learned that they have a movie coming out in October of 2010, 10-10, that is called Mastermind, that's all about the concept of masterminding. So he thought that was really interesting, and it kind of tied into the other research that he was doing, trying to figure out what people had done to overcome economic hardships in the past. So he said, well, I wonder when masterminding really became popular. I knew it had something to do with Think and Grow Rich and whatnot, but what was the date period that it really became popular? And what he realized was that back in the 30s with the Great Depression, which was the last time that the economy was as bad as it is right now here in the U.S., that was the time during which group coaching really became a big deal. People started using group coaching back in the 30s. And from the 30s all the way up until the 70s, group coaching was really the vehicle that people were using to get through these tough times. Sometime in the 60s and into the early 70s, things shifted a little bit so that although it was still a concept like group coaching, it really became much more akin to what we call masterminding today, sometime in that time period, late 60s, early 70s. And that today, there are more people turning to masterminding than there are people turning to group coaching. And he saw this as being predicted by this movie on masterminding that DreamWorks Entertainment is coming up with in 2010. And I kind of see the same thing, and I really think some of the concepts that Napoleon Hill talks about in Think and Grow Rich, the power of the third eye and whatnot, really are so powerful. And I'm anxious to hear what James has to say about the whole concept of masterminding and how it can be used to help you attract more wealth. I think there's something that's all tied in there with the concepts of group coaching and masterminding and what Napoleon Hill was really saying in Think and Grow Rich. Have you heard about any of that, James?
Yes, actually I have. And I totally, you know, am all for the masterminding concept. And it is very powerful when two or more minds come together in a spirit of complete harmony, which is very important to keep the frequencies, the vibrations of the thought patterns high, and also for a specific directed goal that the two or more minds are directed at. This is an extremely powerful concept, an extremely powerful practice that can be applied to any business venture, any thing that, you know, human beings want to accomplish. This can help them. The the concept, as far as masterminding, is not a big part of what I teach, and the reason is that for myself, I've always been, you know, more of a lone wolf, and I didn't really have people of like mind to be able to get together and say, okay, here's this project, or here's what I want to do, help me do this, how do we think this through?
Oh, you're a lot like me. I've always been one of those lone wolves myself.
Right, and there's so many people out there, and what I have found is that I have applied the mind power techniques as I teach them in my book with amazing results. One, I just was jotting down a little note while you were talking, was that I was $50,000 in credit card debt, and it's a long story, but the short of it is that I started to really apply these principles, and I had, within about 3 months, a six-figure windfall come in, and then within a month or 6 weeks, whatever it was, another six-figure windfall. And there was no mastermind group involved. So can you imagine if I would have had a mastermind group at that time? So what I want people to know is I'm all for the mastermind concept, philosophy, and principle, and if you can get like-minded people and you guys can focus your thoughts on specific goals and work together harmoniously, I am all for it, but I want you to know, I want people to know that it's not strictly necessary. There's other people out there who either they're the lone wolf types or they just do not have, at this time in their lives, the appropriate, context of this nature. And it's not something that will stop you from moving forward, and you will find that the mind power techniques as I teach them are just so amazingly useful and productive that the universe out there, it will, it, you know, people, when you program the subconscious mind properly, which is part of the universal subconscious, which is connected to every other subconscious mind, therefore every other human mind in existence, not only, you know, present, but past, you know, people that have passed on and people that aren't even born. I mean, it's a vast, universal mind within the species that we are all, and each species has this, that we're all connected to, that people and events will just start to do what they need to do to bring you what you have created first in your mind, because that's what we need to remember. You create first in your mind, and then you do it in a specific way, but it's not like ABC, because it's applying mind power for the purposes of attracting money is as much an art as it is a science. It's an individualized thing as far as how people apply it. But when you do apply it correctly, you can basically be like I was, alone in a room, literally. I didn't even have a computer at the time. And I was not connected to the world in that sense, in other words. And I had these windfalls come in because I just focused my mind on the end result. I used all the principles. I was working on my book at the time that I teach in the book, as far as thinking end results, thinking and feeling as if, speaking as if, acting as if, using affirmations, visualization. I was doing it all, and I was doing it every day in an intense way. And that's why I had such a large manifestation or demonstration in a relatively short time. So mastermind group, I'm definitely all for it, but it's not, it should not be a stepping, a stop for you in your road if you don't have that at this time. And what Jennifer was talking about earlier, if I can touch on that, about a lot of, these people that have become rich and all, and they're applying these techniques and understood them. That is true in many, many cases, but I also know that some people do not understand the principles consciously. They are living their lives in such a way as if they did. You know, take somebody who's born into a Hollywood family, for instance. They're used to being around wealth. They've been acclimated into this whole idea of being a movie star. And, you know, and you look at some of the children, whether it's, Sutherland or Charlie Sheen or whoever, where they come into a family that is already living this lifestyle and is already in this business. Therefore, it's not a big stretch for them. If they don't have any concepts of mind power at all, they're still going to think positive. They're still going to think this is a business that's totally doable, and I can do it. My dad did it. They're still going to think life is good. There's lots of money. And I have all kinds of opportunities and lots of contacts, and I can do what I want. And they don't understand mind power at all. But if a person like that, and there has been cases where very famous and rich people have, gone from the top to the bottom, and some of them have come back up, after disappearing into obscurity for years on end, maybe John Travolta comes to mind or something like that. If they do fall and they do lose their connection, their contacts, their positive mental attitude, and their belief and their expectancy of good things. And if they don't understand mind power principles and the power of attraction and the techniques of attraction and manifestation, then they're like everyone right now who has lost money that they have, a large percentage of money they've spent a lifetime accumulating. If they did not use mind power consciously to accumulate that money, now they don't, they're really lost. It is really lost. If you understand mind power principles, you know that you can always get back to where you were because you've already been there, and you know that you can go further than that because these principles and the techniques, they work. The universe and your mind works in a certain way, and once you understand that, then you think and feel and act and speak in a certain way, and it's sure that the results that those ways give rise to are going to come about.
Two quick questions about that. Can I just do two quickies? So number one, with mind power, I don't know if you know my personal story, but I have really used mind power in a big way, but not necessarily just to achieve wealth or attract wealth. you can really use these principles to attract anything you might be seeking to attract, correct?
That's totally correct, yes.
And also, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that the one reason that I really wanted to focus on that particular use of mind power in my book is because, and there's many reasons why, you know, childhood programming or just the negative, you know, mass consciousness regarding money or whatever. But that's why I wanted to apply the techniques specifically to this subject and say, listen, this is mind power for attracting money. And the reason is because, yes, the principles and techniques are all 100% exactly the same. The only difference is in how you apply them and for what purposes. But this seems to be the one purpose that so many people of their own volition do not consciously and diligently apply them for. And therefore, that's why money is one of the areas of, you know, if you do a survey of where people need to improve or what they're not happy with, finances is almost always at the top of the list.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Why do you think people don't consciously apply it for money when, if, as you say, and I agree with you, that finances or challenges with finances are at the top of their list of challenges? Why wouldn't people apply this conscientiously?
It's an amazing phenomenon, I think. And part of it is because, you know, it's a different thing when you look at health. You know, you look at, you want to improve your health or get a relationship or a house or something. These things are very tangible. They're dreams. There's a visual component to them. And people seem to be able to apply these techniques and believe towards those goals and believe that these techniques will work for those goals. For, again, the reasons we went back to, whether it's negative childhood programming, that life is hard and money's hard to come by and nobody gives you anything and there's no free lunch and we have all of these, you know, cliches about it, that people really don't believe in their hearts, viscerally, that they can apply this to money. Because almost no one they know personally has done that, and everyone else is working hard for their money. And, of course, there's other, you know, things that come into it, like people don't feel inwardly that they deserve it, and therefore they're not impelled. You know, you have to be impelled. You can't push yourself, really. You develop a mindset that pulls you into this, as opposed to trying to force your way into this. But because of a reason like that, for instance, that they don't feel worthy for, again, whatever reason, they don't consciously apply this to the specific task of attracting money. And a lot of it has to do with just their level of, well, one, the first chapter in my book, desire. Their desire, you know, daydreaming and really dreaming are two different things. And if a person does not have a strong enough desire to have more money, then they're not going to do what they need to do to be able to start to get that money, or if they know about the power of the mind, then actually attract that money, which is what they're doing either way. Second chapter of the book is belief. They don't have the level of belief necessary that they can actually apply these techniques, even if they know them and have a great understanding of them. They don't have the belief, or chapter number three, expectancy, that they can actually do it, that they can attract this figure, this net worth, this desired income. Fourth chapter of the book, money mindset. So without the desire, the belief, and the expectancy in place for the specific purpose of attracting money, they don't have the proper money mindset, which is basically all of their thoughts and feelings having to do with money, not only their own, but the economy and the world at large, then it's just not going to happen. So those are a few of the stumbling blocks that have kept people, even those who know the principles inside and out. I mean, I know people, I have talked to people who have applied these principles for decades with amazing results. They always get a parking spot even in the middle of the city and on and on and on, but their finances are not what they want them to be. And it's simply because they have not, for whatever reason, and we've discussed some of them, applied the principles specifically and consistently for the purpose of attracting money.
Well, James, I want to know, for the people who were not born a Kennedy or whatever, who weren't born with the expectation and the belief that they deserved to have money, to be wealthy, to live these, to live this great life. How is it that you, I think everybody wants money and wants to live a nice life, but how exactly do you, does one start applying these principles so that they do in fact start not only wanting and desiring to have a nice life, a great relationship, and in your case specifically, money, wealth, but believing that they deserve it, believing that they can have it, expecting it. How can people apply these principles when they are in a state of something completely opposite than that?
Right. I would tell people that the first step is that you have to have a fundamental shift in the way you think. And that fundamental shift is this. You have got to start thinking more about the things that you would like to see come about, and especially as it has to do with finances or material wealth in any form, and that includes, you know, your profession and everything that goes along with money and wealth in this society. You've got to start thinking less about what you don't want in relation to those subjects and more about what you do want, because this is the crux here. This is a key. The process of thinking is the creative process. Your subconscious mind, which receives not only all of your own thoughts, it receives other people's thoughts subliminally because it's connected to all subconscious minds. Everything you see, everything you hear, it all reaches the subconscious mind. Now, of course, the more of it there is, the more powerful the impact in whatever, you know, way that it might be, whether it's good or bad. So when you are thinking about something you'd like to have, you are actually in the creative process. Because remember, your subconscious mind, and this is a very basic understanding of mind power, you've got to understand this to be able to know what you're doing when you're applying the techniques, is that the subconscious mind is basically a machine. It does not have independent thought as we do. It does not have any concept of time. It does not have any concept of right or wrong, wanted or unwanted, good or bad. All it knows is what it sees based on the images that reach it. And those can be real images. You know, you look around your room or look out the front door, those are real images, or images you put in your mind. And it doesn't know the difference between the two. And here's the thing about the subconscious, is it thinks that whatever images are reaching it, apparently it assumes that this is reality. And it has the power to make, and this is its basic function, is to make what it thinks is real actually real. Because there is not a huge difference between the seen and the unseen. We know through modern science that energy changes forms. Energy is never created or destroyed, but just changes forms. Thought is just as real an energy and a thing, and thoughts and visions and feelings are just as real as your desk, as your computer. They're just in a different frequency, so we can't see them from where we are. So a thought is actually real, and that's how thoughts that are fed enough power will actually turn into real things, and sometimes in amazingly miraculous ways, and other times in very seemingly normal ways, but they would not have happened in those ways if the mind hadn't come first. So if people walk away from today with nothing other than the fact that they have got to stop thinking and spending all this energy feeding the visions of what they don't want, and they've got to start thinking about what they do want and understand that while you are doing so, this is the creative process. You are in the process of creating what you are going to get. And it's every thought, every feeling, every image in your mind, every word you speak, it's all a big part of it. And jumping ahead, chapter 12 in my book is environment. And when you understand how everything has such a profound effect on the subconscious mind, you will naturally start to gravitate to and want to create environments conducive to that and control environment. And I say that for the purposes of using mind power to attract money, your environment, or to attract any good thing, your environment is basically this. Everything that you see, feel, hear, taste, touch on a regular basis. Okay, if you go to Hawaii once every 6 years, that's not your environment. If you go to the bowling alley every Thursday night, that's part of your environment, or whatever you watch on TV, whatever you read. Because we can't control, in other words, we don't have the power every moment of every day to say, to try to keep all of these things out that are reaching our eyes and ears. And those are the main two ways it gets to the subconscious. Also out of our mouth. We have one mouth, two ears, so everything we say goes right back in. We don't have the power to pick and choose what will reach the subconscious mind. Therefore, it's a very intelligent move to start controlling what is able to reach your subconscious mind. If I don't go down to the local bar on 2 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon and sit there and drink a beer, then I'm not going to hear all of those negative hard luck stories of lack and defeat, you see. So controlling the environment is very important, and it is something a person will naturally start to gravitate to, especially when they understand the awesome power of their subconscious mind.
Well, James, tell me a little bit more. We know what's not conducive to manifesting the things that we want, the kinds of environments, but give me some examples of environments that are conducive to manifesting money, manifesting the things that we want as a part of our life.
Well, remember first, before I even say anything about outer environment, that your outer environment is a reflection of your inner environment. You created and were drawn to and attracted to the environments that were first within your mind, or that were in your mind because of whatever, you know, input you had from the outer. So you first want to start working on the inner environment, which again goes back to thinking about what you do want, the circumstances you want, and not what you don't want. But beyond that, you want to look at, like I said, everything that you see and hear on a regular basis. And you want to, and that's the inside of your car, right? Most people drive at least 5 days a week, maybe more, a couple times a day. That's part of your environment. What is it like in there? What does it look like? You know, what do you do when you're in there? Do you cuss at the other drivers, or do you play, self-help tapes? Do you blast rap music? What do you do? Everything, you study your environment, and you sit back, and with an understanding of mind power principles, or a beginning understanding of the concepts and principles and techniques of mind power, you can sit back and say, okay, here's my goal. My goal is to attract X amount of dollars, or to, you know, have X amount of income, this net worth. Now, let me look at my environment and see what is conducive to this. And some things, you know, are very obvious. Negativity is not conducive to it. Visions and pictures of poverty and sickness and death and all of these things that some people are immersed in, not conducive. Another chapter, appropriately right after environment, is on organization. A cluttered environment is an indication of a cluttered mind, and a cluttered mind can never be a powerful mind because there cannot be focus where there's clutter. So when you start to organize your thoughts, when you start to improve improve the inner environment of your mind, you will naturally find yourself starting to improve the outer environment, because one feeds the other, you see. And then what we also find, which is really great, is that not only does your inner environment affect your outer environment affects your inner environment. So for instance, that's why some self-help teachers advise people to clean out your drawers and clean your house top to bottom and get rid of the clothes you haven't worn in 10 years and all of these things and organize things. It's because they know that by doing that, people's minds will begin to become organized. So, and there's other things, of course. You want to be around positive people. You want to seek out people who, even if they don't have an understanding of mind power principles and metaphysics, but who are naturally expectant and positive and tend to look at the bright side, the things of this nature. But one of the most powerful things in your life is your environment, and probably the most important or powerful thing concerning environment is the organization of that environment. And that's, and when we talk about organization, we talk about not only your physical environment, but your activities, you know, your to-do list, your schedule, things of this nature. Because you cannot achieve really big, important goals such as attracting massive wealth without becoming focused, and you cannot do that without becoming organized. And all of these things are part of what come under the umbrella of what I term environment.
Okay. So we clean things up a bit. You know, going on that same principle, not too long ago, I think I and my kids went through all of our stuff, and I'm pretty sure we got rid of about 80% of our clothes and a whole bunch of other things. And I will tell you, while it was strange seeing our closets be so empty, relatively speaking, wow, I can take a deep breath of just, it feels amazingly better. I don't miss the clothes that I hadn't worn in, you know, 2, 5, 10 years that I was holding on to because I might wear them again someday. So you're right, but absolutely helps the mind to focus and it feels better. So, okay, so that's a bit about environment. So what you've shared with us so far, James, is that it starts with the desire and the belief and the expectancy that this is what you'd like as a part of your life, and that you've got to create the environment necessary that's conducive to manifesting these things. What are some of the other things that people can do on a day-to-day basis? And maybe you can give us an example of how you've applied these principles to manifest money. What else do people need to do? And maybe you can give us another example of how it's worked in your own life or where you've seen it work in other people's lives.
One example I like to give, because it's a fairly powerful one, is when I was $10,000 in credit card debt, and I came up with an affirmation that, and I wasn't making enough money to pay the cards each month. I was actually borrowing each month to live, and so I was going deeper in debt each month, and I came up with no end, you know, no resolution in sight as far as looking at it from a materialistic point of view. I came up with this affirmation: all of my credit cards are completely paid off. And I did that affirmation morning and night, and I didn't really use any of the other techniques at the time. Although, you know, as you understand this, you'll see that as you understand the principles of mind power and how the techniques work, you'll see that you really can't do one without it spilling over into others. In other words, if you're doing positive affirmations, you're automatically thinking about end results you want because you're verbalizing them. That's just one example, and creating visions of that. And about 6 weeks later, someone came into my life who I had not seen in many years, didn't really even know that well, had only met a couple of times. And anyway, the short version of the story is that person wrote me a check for $10,000 as a gift,
wow,
not a loan, when they heard about my credit card debt. And that was just one technique. That was just using affirmations, which are basically, and they are one of my favorite, I've said it before and I'll say it again, techniques, because mind power techniques, because it's one of the most ridiculously easy things you have ever heard of, you know, or that I have ever heard of, is that you can form, and there's a certain few guidelines to forming the statement. One is it should be in the present. Number two is, you know, stated as if it's already, in other words, accomplished. Number two is that there's no, you don't decide within the statement how. You know, you don't say, I'm going to have $1 million because I'm going to win the lottery. You affirm that you have the $1 million, not that I will have it. And so there's a few guidelines to writing, to composing appropriate affirmations. But just think, how simple is this? And you don't have to believe the thing in the beginning, and most people don't, but you do believe at some, you know, level of yourself that it is conceivably possible, or you'd never really write an affirmation and do it and take it seriously. Like, it's one thing to say I'm a multimillionaire or I have $1 million in the bank. It's another thing to say I'm the master of the universe, you know, and I'm going to pull the sun 5 miles closer to the earth. I mean, these are things that you wouldn't do affirmations about them because you know there's, you know, it's fantasy. But if you actually consider, even if you make $10,000 a year, if you actually consider that and come up with an affirmation, I have $1 million in the bank, you wouldn't do that affirmation unless you at some level believed. And then, and when you're doing an affirmation, you're giving rise in your subconscious mind and your conscious mind to the visions or the images that have to do with the completion of that affirmation. And so it's one of the easiest, most simple to apply that anyone can do, mind power techniques that has amazing, amazing results. But, of course, in my book, I teach other techniques, and I like for people to be more rounded than just to be, you know, like there's books on affirmations or whatever, and those are great, and I recommend people read as much of this literature as they can get their hands on. God knows I have over all of these years. But there's other techniques that I teach that are out there, too. I mean, I didn't make them up. But that people don't really think about as much, and even if they're familiar with it, they don't apply it as they should. And one of them, and this is a big stumbling block for a lot of people, is the concept and the technique of speaking as if. Speaking as if. And what you are speaking as if, you're speaking as if everything that you want to, in my case, for what I'm teaching people to do, everything that you want to be true about your finances is now or will be true. And I have used that technique just in my own, and you can speak to yourself, you can speak to people, but I could be in a particular bind and not have money years ago for a particular bill or whatever, and it's just somebody brings it up and it's like, it's going to be paid. The money is here. I'm not sure. I don't know where I'm going to find the money. Because people tell you that, well, I think positive and I visualize and all of this, but then when you hear them talk, you see that they're speaking something completely different than what they're saying they're thinking. So therefore, they're either lying or deceiving themselves because what you're speaking is what you're thinking. Not only does it indicate and what you speak indicate and expose what you're thinking, but it also reinforces what you're thinking. So that's why the technique of speaking as if, all of those financial eventualities that you want to see come out, speaking as if they are or will be true and happen, that's a whole nother story. And people have used these types of techniques or different combinations of them, and I've had people tell me that a week after reading my book, someone gave them a car, for instance, a late model car when they had no car. Other people have not even, you know, they start reading the book and they haven't even done any of the techniques, you know, that I teach, or the specific simple steps I call them at the end of each chapter, and yet they have a windfall, or they get a raise at work, or they find a job where they didn't find one, you know, for 5 months before. Not even consciously applying the principles and the techniques from the book, but just a raise in frequency, a raise in their expectancy and belief level, because they see, oh, wow, this really works. And they read these from these 160 quotes, and they say, wow, look at what, all of these famous people have said, you know, famous and non-famous. There's a lot of people in here you've never heard of. This must be true. And so their whole aura is lifted, enlightened, and they start to expect. And so even before consciously applying certain techniques I teach, things start to loosen up. Money starts to flow more easily to them.
James, I have a question. That's interesting you talk about, even sometimes just by reading a book, by reading your book, and maybe being in the company of other people, that you said our auras can be lifted, our mindset can be lifted, and I've absolutely found that to be true. However, backtracking just a couple of steps, you said earlier you were talking about thinking as if, speaking as if, and just prior to that you gave a couple of examples, one of which you said was kind of fantasy. You know, I'm going to pull the sun, 5 miles closer to the earth, or vice versa. And I agree, that's probably a fantasy. But then the question that then bears asking is, so for some people who say have never made more than $30,000 a year, a lot of people would say, well, for you to make $1 million a year, that's fantasy, or $10 million, or $1 billion, that's fantasy. So the question I have is, where's the line between fantasy and reality? Because what we're talking about, prior to us acknowledging, hey, laws of attraction, manifestation, it's possible, it exists, it's real, I think most people would say it's fantasy. You going from, $30,000 or $50,000 or $100,000 to $1 million, you know, for 99.999% of the people, it's fantasy. So where do we draw the line between what we can really expect to manifest and what we can't? Or is that really up to us and not what others may expect or decide for us?
Well, it really is up to us. As far as how much money we can conceive and believe that we can attract. There's so many examples of people who, you know, come from poverty and they, you know, look at examples like Sylvester Stallone, for instance, you know, a person
great
that
example.
Comes from nowhere but has a dream and holds on to it and holds that vision and sticks to their principles. And then they make, you know, $20 million a film or whatever from nowhere. You know, a person like that, an actor, for instance, and many of them don't. You don't even need a high school diploma for this. So, you know, I tell people, look at all of the examples of people who come from nothing and are, you know, even billionaires. Look at Oprah Winfrey. My
yeah.
God, is there a more dramatic story of how low you can come from and poverty, you know, economic wise and all of that, and how far you can go? And she hasn't, we don't know how far she can go because she's still on her way. But what a wonderful, shining, beautiful example of someone who followed their inner drive and found their right livelihood, which is another chapter in my book, the doing the thing that you love to do. So that's another important thing for people to focus on something to do as they can discover it. But in the beginning, you don't have to know that. But you know, listen, anybody can come up with a dollar, even if you're homeless, right? You can come up with a dollar because you can panhandle for nickels and dimes to get enough to buy a lottery ticket. Okay, people win. Somebody just recently, a 23-year-old rancher from up north somewhere. One, it was the only holder of a ticket worth, I think it was $323 or $232 million, something like that. So for $1, a person can buy a lottery ticket and they can get hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, overnight you can have, you say, $1 million a year. Well, you could be making $1 million a year in interest, right? It's conceivable.
Right, sure.
I mean, anybody can conceive. Yeah, most people don't believe it could happen to them, but most people can conceive, yes, somebody can spend $1, it could be the first lottery ticket they ever bought, and they could be have hundreds of millions of dollars and just be set for life and have a huger income than they ever thought they would have. So we've established the fact that it is possible, and the lottery isn't the only way. You know, people have been left inheritances from people they barely knew, from relatives they didn't know existed. I mean, that's just one other example. So we have to get past, I tell people, you need to get past this thing of it's not possible, because it is possible. Anything's possible. The only thing that limits how much money you can have is how much there is in existence, you know, basically, and they're always printing more anyway.
Oh, I was going to say that keeps growing too, right? That's just digital numbers on the computer.
Exactly.
But I like what you said about getting past it, because your example of Stallone, your example of Oprah, we can ask ourselves, how many other Stallones are there out there, or Oprah Winfrey's, or Thomas Edison's, or whoever, who tried and tried and tried to accomplish something, kept failing, and finally listened when people said, it's a fantasy that you're going to do that. Who are you? And they said, you're right. And they gave up and walked away. Right? There's, you know, hundreds of thousands, probably millions of people who've done just that and stopped somewhere along the way. But the examples we have of that line of demarcation between this is reality, this is what's possible, this is fantasy, that gets, you know, that disappears when you're willing to continue to persist, as did Sylvester Stallone, as did Oprah Winfrey, as did Bill Bartman, name anybody else who had a lot of failures, which is pretty much everybody, before they become a big success. You've got
right.
to continue to persist past.
Right, and one thing we can learn from these people is not only the power of persistence, you know, because so many people, their biggest break comes after their darkest hour. It's when they almost lost hope, but they didn't, because the universe does test us. I believe that. And then they had their big breakthrough. But if you look at these people, they're doing something they love. They're doing something that they were created to do. They have found their right livelihood, like me with what I'm doing with my writing. I would do this even if I wasn't getting paid. Artists would paint even if they weren't getting paid. Actors would act. I mean, many actors, you know, people act their whole lives. You never heard of them. You may never hear of them. They're in community theaters all over the country or wherever. And that's not their field of where they collect their money, but they're doing what they love, and they do it even if they're not getting paid. And the people who are getting paid $20 million a picture, you see, they're the type of people that love, love, love what they do, or music is another great example, or various forms of business. So, because then what's there to give up? If this is what you love to do, if this is what you want to do, if this is your calling, then it's not like, well, I'll try this for 10 years, and if I'm not a multimillionaire, then I'll quit and I'll go and, go back to school to be an accountant.
Right.
It's not a part of the mental equation. And it's like the story from history, I can't tell you when or where, but I've read it in more than one book, about where the invading army in the past got to the shores for the battle of where and the captain gave the order for all of the ships to be burned right there in the harbor.
Right.
And so they destroyed any chance that they could survive unless they won. And the odds were against them, and of course we know, we can surmise, even if we haven't heard the story, that they won. And because there was no other way. So for me, you know, when I finally decided, you know, I worked on this book 10 years on and off, and I finally decided, it's never going to get done. This is not going to happen. I didn't even know how to use the internet yet or anything, unless I commit totally 100%. 100% do or die. And I was $50,000 in, I already told this story today, $50,000 in credit card debt as a household, going in deeper each month because borrowing more money to live and to pay the cards. And I quit my job at that point, when it was, to anybody with any kind of rational sense would say, you're crazy. You quit the only form of income you have when you're in jeopardy of losing your credit cards and you're already $50,000 in debt. But I made a decision one night, and it was a big, huge decision. I didn't talk once I made it. I started writing notes, and I was in complete silence for 10 days. I fasted. I didn't shave or do my, you know, have my hair cut for over a year. I mean, I just really, really said, this is it. I am going to do this thing, or I'm going to just, you know, crawl in a hole somewhere. There's nothing else for me. This is what I want. And I risked everything for it. And it was 3 months later that the first six-figure windfall came. And then just shortly after that, and whatever, a month or 6 weeks, that another six-figure windfall came. But it was because I totally committed. And in that, even if I didn't know it consciously, which I think I did, but even if I didn't know consciously that I totally 100% believed it was possible, you really have to look and say, well, you never really would have done that unless at some level you did know. You see, so sometimes,
yeah.
And I'm not telling anybody, I don't want any emails next week, you made me quit my job and now I can't pay my rent. You know, I don't want anybody quitting their job. Okay, I'm not telling anybody to quit the job, but I am telling people that as appropriate, we do have to commit ourselves at times and take what other people would deem as irrational, crazy, irresponsible actions towards our dream. Like, isn't it irresponsible, you would think, for someone to pursue an acting career for 20 years? You know, they say the overnight success takes most people 10 years to become an overnight success. Does it really make sense, when you could be providing for your family and saving for your future, to work in a field and to pursue a field for 10 or 15 years with no results, no tangible results? That doesn't make sense to the conscious mind, to the rational, planning, thinking mind. But yet people who have done it have so much more than they would ever had in 20 lifetimes of doing it the other way, the safe way, the way all of their friends from high school and college did it.
Right, because of persistence and because of what you said, consciously and probably somewhere unconsciously, subconsciously, they had that vision, they had that dream, and, you know, they just kept moving forward, just kept climbing
right.
the mountain because they
right.
saw it.
And if you think about it, if you give up something else, like for me, my only form of income, when you give that up, that's just one less thing. That's just one less image in your mind, one less drain on your energy, one less place to go 5 days a week. When you give that up, you have so much more time and energy to focus on what it is you want. And that's what makes dreams come true, is the focusing on the image and to holding to it. And not only that, but see, it was like sort of like I burned my ships in the harbor.
Right.
You see, I made the decision. And I didn't say, I'm going to quit my job, and if this doesn't work in a year, or if I go $100,000 in debt, then I said, this is it. This is it. I'm going to do it, or I'm just going to crawl in a hole and let them cover it over because I don't want anything else. And so when you do that, and then what you do is you light a fire under yourself, because now you are on the spot, and that is motivation, you see, because you have burned your bridges. You have effectively removed your avenues of retreat, whether you've done it in a physical or a mental way. And then you have, you know, you can put yourself into a position where you have no alternative but to succeed,
right,
and to bring your dreams into reality. And if you can do that, then your dreams are assured. But you don't even have to be that drastic about it. That's a drastic example, but I'm the guy that wrote the book. But I tell people, you know, just using the principles and moving along and holding on to your job while you're doing it, you'll be amazed from, you know, where you could go 0 to 60, you know, in 60 seconds, because it's really, really amazing. And you don't have to take a lot of risks along the way, but sometimes you're called upon to do that by the universe, and hopefully you're ready for that if and when it does present itself.
You're saying stand tall, stand proud, take the bull by the horns, and move forward if your intuition is telling you this is the direction to go.
That's right, and that's a very good point you brought up, intuition. I have a chapter on intuition. You know, when you start to use mind power principles properly, you will start to be inspired from within. You will start to know in your bones and in your blood at a visceral level what feels right. You will be pulled towards. It's almost like, to me, it feels like certain things I think and I see and I hear are in color, and other things are in black and white. It's like that's the kind of feeling it is. It's if I turn the TV on and it's black and white, it's like, no, that's not anything to move towards. When something presents itself that is calling to me and that is something that I should do, it's colorful, and the volume is high, you see? And that's how it feels to me. To someone else, it may feel different. But intuition is an extremely powerful force that will pull you towards and impel you towards those things that you need to do, and those decisions you need to take, and the actions you need to take, the people that are good for you and the situations, and those that aren't. This all comes through the faculty of intuition. But that faculty is applied and will work for this purpose once you have laid the foundation of the proper mind power techniques. I've opened up my book here. As you know, I open each chapter with a quote, and so I just opened to the intuition chapter to see anything interesting in the quotes here. Ralph Waldo Emerson, in Self-Reliance, 1841, he wrote, "We lie in the lap of immense intelligence, which makes us receivers of its truth and organs of its activity." Let me see here. Balthasar Gracian, he wrote a book called The Art of Worldly Wisdom way back in 1647. You know, these principles have been around forever. And he wrote, "Trust your heart, especially when it is a strong one." And what you find is that when you are specific in how you apply mind power techniques for specific purposes, that makes your heart a strong one. In other words, it increases the power of your intuition as it has to do with that particular goal or vision that you're trying to create.
You know, I love that quote, "Trust your heart, especially when it's a strong one." Question for you here, James. I was actually on a show just yesterday, and we were talking about this idea of kind of mixing how do we find, actually, our inner intuition that leads us to, I know you have a chapter on our right livelihood and maybe our true purpose, something along those lines. But the question was brought up when we are busy, life is pulling us along and it's spinning around us so much we have no idea, and I think some people are in this position, no idea what our right livelihood is, what our purpose, what our direction should be. How, if somebody is in that position, can they find their intuition? Sometimes if you're pulled in so many different directions, it's hard, I think, even to dig down and find intuition and find what your true purpose, et cetera, is. So what
right.
do you recommend people to do to bring that out of themselves?
Well, as far as right livelihood, I want people to think and to look back on their life and to look at their life in the present and to ask themselves, what do I like to do? What subjects am I naturally attracted to? What kinds of activities can I get involved with that are just time disappears and that I could just, you know, do forever and I feel at one, I feel at peace, I feel in the zone or in the moment when I'm doing. These are the kind of things. Now, to use myself as an example, I started when I was a very, very young child trying to sit down and write little poems and things. I used to write little poems. And as when I got just a little bit older, I actually sat down one day without any, you know, anybody ever putting the idea in my head or in school it being said, and I started to try to write a novel when I was just a young child. So I always had this this desire, a pen wanted to be in my hand, and that hand wanted to be moving. Even though I wasn't a great English student, wasn't particularly interested in that or any other subject in school or whatever, but my hand wanted to have a pen in it. And then, of course, when I was younger, even before I found the metaphysical, world at 19, I was always interested in things like spaceships and ghosts and ESP, you know, when they would have the book club in grammar school and you get to pick from a few different books you want to read. I'd always pick that book, not about Napoleon or some other country, but about something like that that was weird and out there. And then when I found the metaphysical books, I just started reading, you know, hundreds and hundreds of books and going to lectures and all of this stuff. It was something I just couldn't get enough of. And for me, for my right livelihood, it was to combine the two. And later in life, I started writing songs, and I have 83 copyrighted songs right now, not that I know what to do with them, and I have others I've written that aren't copyrighted. So with me, it was I love to write. You know, and I've over the years, I've helped people numerous more times than I can probably even remember with letter writing that they needed to do. You know, a lot of people can't write letters, and if you can't present yourself in print, a lot of times you're at a real disadvantage when you're dealing with, you know, lawyers and corporations and things. So I have just loved doing this, helping people to write, and even compose. I've helped people compose letters to family members trying to clear up issues of many years standing, but they cannot articulate it. And on the phone, you never get enough time, and then people forget what you said anyway. So I have this love of writing, and I have this love of metaphysics and spirituality and mind power. And so for me, a person like me, I would say, well, these must be something to do. Maybe these are something to do with my right livelihood. Now, how could I? Let's see. I love to write, and I love metaphysics, and I love, you know, maybe there's other things I love. I love walking. You know, how can I mix and match and combine these things? Is there a profession in here? And, of course, all of these years, every time I, you know, after the first few years, I would read books and I'd always see where they could be improved. You know, this book could have been 25% shorter and been more powerful. The stories are too long. This dragged out. That was repeated too much. And so I kept having all of these ideas of how I would improve, how if I wrote a book, how I would make it different. And so these things, now I love to walk, but walking isn't a part of this profession. So it's not going to be everything you love to do. I love to lay in the sun. I do it almost every, you know, most days of the year living here in San Diego. I'm tan year-round and have been for most of the last 30 years. But nobody pays me for it. I still haven't been able to find out how to get paid for that. So that's not a part of my right livelihood. But there are elements of what a person really, really loves to do, and what the activities they love and the subjects that they're interested in. Within those things, somewhere, some combination of them is your right livelihood. And the other point or question that you had about intuition, when you start to, you'll find that When you are doing what you were made to do, let's say you're a sculptor or a painter, you've never been paid for it, nobody even knows you do it. You have a room in the back of the house and you paint. If that's what you were born to do, when you are doing it, you are closer to God, or you are closer to the center of the universe, or you are closer to your own higher self, however you want to term it, than at any other time. When you are freely expressing in the moment that thing that you were created for, that is when you're most connected to the power source that can and does bring all things into existence. And when you are in that state, that is when your intuition is most, obviously, if you think about it, when you're most connected to, you know, for the metaphysical types, I call it universe, for more religiously oriented people, God, whatever your concept is, it doesn't matter. But when you're more connected with that, it makes sense that you would be more intuitively connected. So, and that's why, a big part of what some teachers teach is to feel joy, is to feel good, is to do those things that make you feel good, because that's when you are in touch with your power. And also they know that that is when you are opening up the channels of intuition. And remember, though, getting intuition and acting on intuition are two different things. And I want people to really understand that. You can intuitively know that something is right or wrong. You know, you feel pulled or impelled or whatever. You feel all these pushes and pulls. You see it as black and white or color, loud or low, you know, however you feel it. But every time you don't follow the leading and the prompting, you weaken your intuition in that moment.
Right.
And when you
right.
do follow it, you strengthen it, and you get even more connected, and you have even more validation from the outer world that, hey, this is real. Hey, when I do what I'm inspired to do, when I go with what feels good and not the other way, things always work out, and it becomes more and more powerful. So, you know, right livelihood, get in there and do what you love, and then, you know, sit down. I have exercises in the book about it, in the simple steps, and then you can, you know, start to conceive of how this could actually be a vocation, you know, a calling, a livelihood, a right livelihood. And within that, you will be developing your intuition. And again, they go hand in hand, because mind power is a complete package, and you cannot take out any of the ingredients and have success. But by the same token, you could not do most of them and have any of the others lacking, because or not present, because they all feed each other. They all give rise to each other.
Indeed. I especially respect what you said about how to tap into that intuition. One of the ways is to feel joy, feel good. And if you don't have all of the other answers, if you know the things that make you feel good, whether it's taking a walk outside, getting some sunshine, dancing, whatever it is, when you feel good, absolutely, your mind clears, and I think that is one of the strongest times. That's when I'm most tapped into, I think, my most creative self is sometimes when I'm exercising, or even certain songs that would maybe for some people would be distracting, but for me, for whatever reason, they stir something up inside of me. I have some favorite singers, but some are opera singers, some are pop singers, whoever they are, but certain songs of these certain singers just stir something up inside of me, cause me to feel joy, and I am my absolute most creative. Tapping into my, you know, I think what is my right livelihood or my right direction in life when I'm doing these things, when I'm feeling joy. And when I'm not tapped into that creativity, the reminder somewhere in the corner of my mind that says, hey, go do something that makes you feel good. Go do something that gets you stirred up and pumped up again. When I finally listen to that and go follow that, that's exactly when I'm able to go and start tapping into that intuition again and kind of get back on track of manifesting and implementing, acting on the, whatever it is I'm supposed to be doing that day and that's moving towards my direction in life. So that's a great, great tip. Feel joy. Find joy. And that's going to help you tap into some of that.
Right. Exactly. And you gave a great example of, certain songs. We all know certain songs that make us feel certain ways. So I tell people, if you can't bring yourself in some other way to feel a certain way, then listen to a song that you already know makes you feel that way. And I love the internet because when I discovered, and I've only been on the internet and had a computer for, you know, 2.5 years or whatever, and I only got on it because of my book. But when I discovered YouTube, for instance, that I could go to YouTube,
right,
and I could punch in any artist or any song title or whatever, and then be listening and watching and even watching the thing right there at my fingertips. Anytime I want to feel a certain way, I can bring up, if I want to do it in this way, a song. Or another way is to think of images that make you feel a certain way. Think of times in your life when you felt the way you want to feel now. Or, as you were saying, and as we discussed, doing things that you know make you feel a certain way. Going out and laying in the yard, getting some sun, or going down to the beach, or walking, or whatever. These are extremely, extremely powerful techniques to use, because we are at our most powerful when we feel good, because that's when we are most connected and aligned with creation. Now, on our journey to success, will we have to do things that we would rather not do, things that are more like a chore and we wouldn't choose to do if it wasn't? Yes, of course there will be those things. But most of the things that you do should be things that are making you feel good. I don't care if you make $10 million a year, but if you're spending 40 hours a week doing something you hate, then you're not a success by my definition.
And what is
your definition? I would rather see you make $50,000 a year or $100,000 and be doing something you love than I would rather see you make $10 million a year doing something you hate, because you're destroying your soul in that way, and in the other way, you're feeding your soul. In the one way, you're pinching yourself off and becoming less of a human being, less of what you want to be, less of a healthy human being. And the other way, making $100,000 or $50,000, you would be becoming more because you're doing what you love. And remember, you're not limited to that $100,000, and money can come to you in other ways. You know, people win the lottery, and some of them keep their jobs. Some of them quit the very next day. I mean, they don't even go, they call that night, or they call the next morning. Some of them keep doing their jobs, even though they don't have to work anymore, because that's what they want to do, you see.
Yeah. Well, James, this is very interesting. You've talked about a lot of the different steps that you teach. And again, I know that not only did you write this book, you know, How to Attract Money Using Mind Power, I know you speak on this, and you've got a lot of interesting things on your website, jamesgoyjr.com. And a lot of our listeners are, in fact, most of our listeners are internet marketers, and some are very well along their journey, and some are just getting started. Now, anybody who has come to, so this is Gina Gaudio-Graves Relationship Marketing, and anybody who's been in Gina's circle for any amount of time knows that, among other things, you know, she teaches all the strategies and this, that, and the other that you've got to do to build up your business. But it all starts with, absolutely, without question, it starts with the right mindset, and it starts by finding what she calls your profitable passion. And if you don't have those elements, then probably your business is not going to work out, is what she teaches in it. And I absolutely agree. So most of our listeners are internet marketers of somehow, some sort or other. They might be doing some things offline as well. James, what else do people need to do, whether they're getting started or, I mean, do you manifest the steps along the way, or do you just manifest the very end result? For example, if we're talking about manifesting money and somebody wants to make, you know, their next $100,000 or $500,000, do you just visualize and see that, or do you manifest, okay, I want to build a list of 10,000 loyal followers who then want to buy this and then want to do that? I mean, how detailed do you think you need to be in creating your desire and your end results to get those end results? How much
right.
do you have to plan in your mind ahead of time?
Right. It's good that you brought that word up, plan. I have a chapter in my book I call Money Goals. And I also have a chapter in my book called Plans, as in planning.
Okay.
And
you
start – say that again?
I said, so you do have to plan. You have to think.
Yes, you have
bit.
To plan, but not
okay.
in the beginning. See, in the beginning
okay.
is when you create the mold or the blueprint, and that's through thinking right, thinking about what you want, eventually forming specific goals that you want to accomplish. And then you use the mind power techniques – as I teach them in a very methodical way to bring about those specific results, whatever they happen to be. And then we've already talked about how your intuition is then ignited and fanned and made more powerful and available to you. And through your intuition, you will start to have ideas and inspirations of what to do, and you start to write these down. I teach people to do this in my book, and of course, your own research and things of this nature. So at some point, you do begin to formulate a plan of what to do. Like when I gave the example of having the credit card, the $10,000, somebody who just wrote me a check. I had no plan. So I do want people to know that Mind Power, and I had no idea how it was going to happen until the moment I saw that checkbook. Now, being taken out of the purse. So I want to tell people that Mind Power techniques are powerful enough that you could literally sit in a cave, you know, on the other side of the planet somewhere, and through sheer force of will and applying mind power, create things in miraculous ways. But what we find in actuality, and, you know, 90% of the time, maybe not even that much, because miracles happen all the time, but what we find is that we are guided to do our part. And that's through our intuition, and not only through our intuition. Remember, the subconscious mind is connected to all other minds through the universal subconscious. So other people will give you ideas. You'll just happen to turn on the television at a certain time where something is being said or a certain show is coming on or whatever the case may be. So you become more aware and more watching for all of these signs, and then you do your part as it's presented to you, and part of that, some of that is in the moment. You feel like making a right instead of going left. You feel like going to the bookstore instead of you were planning on going straight home. You go to the bookstore, and in the business aisle, you meet someone who you end up, you know, having a business with or something. So you follow your promptings in the moment. Very powerful. Synchronicity cannot work unless you do, or it's, you know, severely hindered in its operation. But you begin to move forward in those ways, and you also now begin to formulate on paper and write down certain things that are coming to you. It's not, okay, go to the bookstore instead of going home right now. It's like, I wonder if I should do such and such. I wonder if I can research this or that. And you start, you know, it can be as simple as writing your goal at the top of a clean sheet of paper and then starting to write down as they come to you different ideas of things that you might actually do to help that come about. And at some point, of course, you can organize them. You can prioritize those tasks, put them in certain orders, set deadlines if you want. So that's really what I think the beauty of my book is, that I've read books that are extremely practical, goal-oriented, planning, you know, go get them, don't give up. I've also read books that are extremely metaphysically mind power, and that's all you need. And I like to think that I have seamlessly really combined the two, the best of both worlds, which is your mind and your hands. Your mind and your feet, you see, your mind and your body, your brain, your mouth, everything that you have physically, and that most powerful tool, your mind. So you use it all as a success package to move you forward towards the realization of your goals in a very specific way.
Okay. I like that you blend the two together, because I do think that while we manifest and visualize, then, yeah, we have to have a strategy. We have to have an overall strategy that helps to move us forward, a strategy which no doubt is going to evolve along the way. So,
well, I've got a really good example of a strategy, and it really led to manifestation. I think I told you this story before, Jennifer, but the whole time that I was sitting here listening to James, I kept thinking about it over and over again. Have I told you the story about Antonio Thornton and how he manifested six figures in, like, under 10 days?
I don't recall. You need to share that story with us, Gina, because I don't recall it. Tell us
this
about
is a really good story. Antonio is a guy that I'm really good friends with. He's been a student of mine. He's been a JV partner of mine over the years. And he was studying the power of the mind and the power of intention and affirmation and manifestation. And he came to a point where he really needed to make $10,000 in about 12 days, and he really, really needed it. He had something come up that he needed the money for. So he called me one day, and he asked if I had any ideas for what he could do to bring this $10,000 in. And I said, well, you know, let's brainstorm it a little bit. So we talked about it, and called me back the next day, and he said, I know exactly what I'm going to do. So his plan was, he was talking to another friend of his. Her name was Tinu, and Tinu was an expert at AdSense, and she had a strategy that folks could use to bring in really big bucks on a consistent basis, like $50,000 a month or more, using Google AdSense. So they decided that between the two of them, they had a small list that they could send an email to. If he needed to make $10,000, he could do that easily, selling 20 seats in a $500 teleconference. And between the two of them, their list was small, but they thought they could get 20 sales out of it. So they wrote a single little email. It was about 5 paragraphs long. They put up a sales letter that had a headline. It had 3 paragraphs. It had an order button. It was really short. It would have fit on one page if you printed it out, not a normal, typical sales letter. And he started doing this really powerful affirmation with a really powerful visualization, seeing him meeting his need for this $10,000 as if it had occurred right then and there. So they go, they send this email out to their two little lists, and they just have a simple PayPal button on that page for the order. Well, within the first 24 hours, they had sold so many tickets at $500 each that they shut down the first PayPal account. Really? So they went and changed to the other PayPal account because they had two of them between them. In the next 24 hours, they shut down a second PayPal account, so they switched to 2 Checkout. Before they were done, they had shut down 2 PayPal accounts and a 2 Checkout account and brought in more than $180,000 in 3 days.
Wow.
And it really had everything to do with this affirmation that he had been using in connection with this visualization. The list size that they had, there is no way in heck that they should have sold that kind of stuff to that list, especially not at a $500 purchase price. It was a list that they were used to selling $10 and $20 items to, not $500 items. So it really goes to show you the power of manifestation. He manifested what he was looking for.
That is a beautiful example. I love that example. Small list. And yeah, I was going to say, so I guess they exceeded the 20 seats. I haven't done the math there, but the power of the mindset. So it seems
they sold almost 100 seats to it, I think.
Aye, 100 seats. And Gina, you know, I think you have lots of examples both in your own life and in the lives of many of your students and other people that you've worked with. And I love that. In fact, one of the stories you tell early on is that when you I guess when you turned off the negativity, and you can correct me on how the story goes exactly, but you turned off the negativity and turned on somehow visualizing doing well monetarily, something along those lines, that things turned around almost immediately for you too at some point.
Massive changes. One of the biggies for me was in the visualization process. I had been sick, just so you know, James, for about 10 years and had been in a hospital bed in a wheelchair. Finally, by January of 2005, the doctors came and said, sorry, there's nothing we can do. You've got about 12 to 18 months to live. 6 months later, a massage therapist told me that if I just remove the negativity from my life, I wouldn't die as soon as I thought. And at that point, I was going downhill so fast, we didn't think I'd make it a full 10 months. So as I sat down and really researched what she meant and how this worked and whatnot, and really started learning about the power of the mind, I really started using visualization in a huge way, coupled with affirmations. And during that time, I really didn't know how to do visualizations. No one ever taught me how to do them. I just read some stuff and tried to do it, right? Well, those visualizations, I was not paying enough attention to the detail. I was trying to see myself as someone who was walking. I had no feeling in my legs and feet at the time. someone who was healthy, someone who was very vibrant. What I wasn't paying attention to were little things like the woman in the visualizations wore like a size 12 to a 14 in clothes. In the mirror, I was wearing like a size 22 to a 24. Well, I was also well-dressed. I had great jewelry. Well, I didn't really have the money back then to be able to afford those things. I had $9.9 million in medical bills in 10 years. Every single aspect of that visualization was manifested in my life. I lost 68 pounds without going on a diet. The woman in the visualizations had a full head of hair, and I was bald on the top of my head because of the illness. My hair all came back in. My nails had been well manicured in the visualization. Well, my nails had been really badly damaged by all the medications. I now have gorgeous nails again, even though I didn't do anything to change that. It just was manifested into my life. And even my business really exploded so that I could become the person in that visualization who had great jewelry, who really had a great lifestyle, who was very healthy, very, very vibrant, very in love with life. It was very much manifestation, and it wasn't something that medicine did. In fact, it was when I stopped the 42 pills per day and the 4 continuous IVs per day that all of these changes happened, and they happened very quickly. It was about a 4 to 4.5 month period between the time that I really set out to use this and I really was 100% well. So it didn't take long at all to happen.
That's a beautiful example, and you tell that story, Gina, and then you pull out from, again, because from some of your students in the circle of people that you connect with, these kinds of stories all the time. And my point to that, and there's some powerful examples in my own life, but I was just playing with this idea of manifesting it. Let's see if we can attract this by thinking and feeling and acting as if, as you say, James, does this stuff work? And indeed it does, and it just goes to show, these are just a few of the examples, that what you've written about, James, in your book, How to Attract Money Using Mind Power, what you've written about works, it's true, it's real. Folks need to only follow the steps, and the steps start with wanting it, start with desiring it, believing and expecting that they can have it, and then it goes on from there. And now, James, we only have, I think, maybe 3 minutes left or so, so I'd love to hear any of your final comments on if there's any key elements, missing pieces that people need to really attract what it is that they want in their life, especially money, and then give us a little more information about how people can get more of James Joy Jr. and what it is that you teach and help other people to manifest.
Okay, let me do the last part first, and then I'll be able to relax with the other. James
Great.
Goy, my name is G-O-I-J-R, so jamesgoyjr.com and .net. Check both of those out. And I would encourage people to subscribe to my free monthly Mind Power and Money e-zine, where they can learn a lot of these principles. And I'm on MySpace and Facebook, and I have 33 videos on YouTube. So go to jamesgoyjr.net, go to jamesgoyjr.com, and move on from there. Subscribe to the e-zine. One thing we hadn't talked about is another chapter from my book, the concept of self-image. And it's a stumbling block for people because they do not see themselves as people either deserving of the money, in this case, that they want, or as people capable of being able to lay claim to that figure of net worth or income or whatever. So I want people to think about that a little bit. And in the book, of course, we go further into it and give exercises and things. But look at yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know, what do I think about myself? What do I believe about me? What do I think and believe? And what have I been led to believe? And what have I led myself to believe and accept and expect for myself and from myself? And especially as it has to do with money and with my ability to earn, my ability to attract money into my life. And if we're honest with ourselves, we will start to see that our self-image is sorely lacking. It is less than what it needs to be. It is not that self-image of a person who deserves X amount of dollars, or that self-image of a person who has the ability to attract X amount of dollars. And in the book, I make it very simple, using a lot of the techniques we've already talked about, how you can totally revamp and remake your self-image into the person that deserves and is capable of attracting the money that you want to attract into your life.
Fantastic. So it's really what I would say as changing the underlying beliefs that you have activated within yourself, because so often that is like the key for people. If they could just recognize that they do have these beliefs activated and learn how to change them. Well, James, I want to thank you so much for being here on Relationship Marketing 101 on Blog Talk Radio. I want to invite the folks listening at home to join us again next Tuesday at noon Eastern for another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101. And I'm going to have a special surprise. Jennifer Jason Oman, one of the co-authors of Conversations with Millionaires, is going to join us on that call with our guests next week. So I look forward to having everyone back with us again next week for that. It's going to be another great show. And thank you so much, James, for being here. Again, James Goig, GOIJR.com. Thanks so much, everybody.
Bye-bye. Have a great week. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.